Hello, Disturbed Nerds. Guess who's back?
Hi.
She's
not
back.
dead.
She's not dead. She's alive.
Unless I regenerated like the doctor, you'll never know. Today we are talking about Avatar The Last Airbender.
Which, if you haven't watched, then wow, where have you been?
But yes, if you haven't seen Avatar The Last Airbender, it's online on Netflix. It's great. I just went through it again a third time.
I haven't watched the full series since it first came out, but we watched sporadic episodes when we were in DC. I loved it. We used to watch it when we actually had cable. It was on Nickelodeon.
I would watch the reruns that would play at like 12 yes. o'clock at night because I would watch it and then go over to Adult Swim and watch Japanese anime.
Oh my gosh, I used to watch Adult Swim all the time. That's actually where I first saw it, watched Inuyasha at my grandparents' house. And then I was obsessed and I could only find it on Adult Swim.
But that is not what we're talking about today, Keely Todd.
Sorry.
Who's your favorite character?
My favorite character is Suki.
Okay.
I love her. She is tough and strong and she's amazing. And I love her and Sokka's relationship because he's such a dork, but so badass. But he's often overshadowed by Aang and Toph and Katara because he's not a bender, okay? He's got a boomerang. Still awesome on his own right. And I think Suki gets that. And also, I love Zuko. He's got a great character arc. In the beginning, I despise him, but he's got such a great character arc, and him and Iroh are just...
He's my favorite. I absolutely love General Iroh. He hurts my soul. I cry every time I watch the Leaves on a Vine episode. My heart can't take it, and I know you haven't watched Legend of Korra, so I won't spoil it. There are some beautiful scenes.
Does everything for his nephew. Let's be honest, that's not his nephew. That's his kid, okay? His kid. That is his son.
Well, that's because he also understands that his brother's an asshole.
And yeah, B, he is.
General Iroh is still beating himself up because his son died the siege of Ba Sing Se. He blames himself. So tragic.
Everything's tragic in that show.
That's true,
but strangely, it's very dark at times.
Watching a kid's show as an adult hits so differently because I didn't understand what happened with Aang's teacher and how he had suffocated the air out of the room and killed everyone. For some reason, that just went over my head as a kid.
The part that stuck with me was when Katara goes after the man who killed her mother.
Yeah.
And Zuko's there. And it's like this really raw moment because, first of all, we know Katara is badass waterbender, bloodbender, okay? Like, she's incredible. And she was already incredible even before she got a proper freaking teacher, you know? Like, she taught herself. So the moment where she sees this man, oh my gosh, is she going to kill him? And she doesn't, but it's one of those moments Zuko understands.
For a kid's show, it's exceptionally dark.
It
I appreciate though, especially Azula's storyline. I seen a post going around that said like, oh, Azula deserves a redemption arc similar to what Zuko got.
She was her father's perfect little soldier. Mm-hmm. She did everything he wanted because if she didn't, then she'd end up like her brother. And that's why she did it. So I think it was a survival mode, but I also think that she eventually just kind of believed everything. So do I think she deserves a redemption arc? I don't think there is one for her. I think she's too far gone.
Oh no, I agree 100%.
It was different with Zuko because even when they're little, you can tell that Azula is a little bit more sadistic.
Do you know what one of the first signs of sociopathy is? Harming animals, and you see her making fun of and being mean to the turtle duck. As an adult, I'm like, she's an actual sociopath.
Some of that can be contributed to the fact that she grew up without her mother and a father who was tyrannical, and that can be a factor. But also, do we think that if her mom had been there and her dad had not been a tyrannical asshole, but Azula still be the same? Her mother may have been able to tame her a little bit, but she may have just still been the same. Zuko, from the get-go, even when you see him when he's younger, you know he's got a very kind heart.
Oh, 100%.
He's a very compassionate. It's just hidden behind lots and lots of layers.
what kid doesn't want to please their parent?
Exactly.
No matter how badly a parent treats their kid, a lot of times they'll still want to grow up, especially if they absolutely adore them and want to be in that position, because Zuko was the successor to the throne. He envisioned himself as the Fire Lord, so he thought that he had to follow in his father's footsteps, and he could only do that by catching the Avatar. You can't really blame him for his actions early on, especially when his father literally burned him.
Right? That was so horrific. But you also gotta think, Zuko keeps his word. When you first meet him, Aang says, if I come with you, will you leave the village alone?
Mm-hmm.
Zuko keeps his word. He leaves the village alone.
And then when he goes in as the Blue Spirit, he protects Aang. He protects all of them. And no one really knew what he did.
And at some point, he saves Katara.
But she pays it back, though, because when they're fighting in the snowstorm and he gets trapped and he's on the verge of death and he still tries to fight Katara because it's what he thinks he has to do, Katara turns around and goes, I'm a waterbender. It's at night, during the full moon, during a snowstorm. Do you really think you're going to beat me when you're on death's door? And instead, they save him and bring him to safety. It went both ways.
It's been so long since I've watched it, so I can't remember how exactly Zuko becomes a part of the gang. But I do know it happens, and I think they're like, surprisingly accepting. But I also
think they're not. They're not, actually. So
they're not.
What happens when he officially becomes a part of their gang is they're at one of the air temples, the one that's upside down. And Aang needs a firebending teacher because the master that he was going to learn under left the picture. So Zuko offers to train Aang, and no one really trusts him, especially since he burns Toph by accident. There was a lot of time and building that went into that
trust.
That's
good. I just couldn't quite remember if it was. I do love that he does join. And I wish they would have like had him join like way in the first season.
Oh, but then you wouldn't have gotten such a beautiful arc.
True.
They had to grow as people.
They did. I don't think Aang grew as a person, though. I think Aang is still a little naive.
Yeah, like a lot of people get frustrated and they say that Aang was actually a terrible avatar, especially if you watch Legend of Korra, because Korra's super strong. She's not afraid to injure people. And you also have Kyoshi and the firebender. So you just have these people who are super strong and not afraid to get what has to get done. And then you have Aang, but people forget he was raised by monks. He's not a fighter. He was taught peace is the proper way to go about solving your problems.
Yeah. And there's nothing wrong with him being leery of hurting people. Like,
he's a pacifist.
He's a pacifist. I get that. There sometimes people can't cross that line, and that's okay. But I also understand why he ran.
Mm-hmm.
Because he was 12, okay?
Yeah.
Did cool tricks with air bending and had fun with his friends, and then suddenly he's been told he's the Avatar, and he's like, wait, what? That's not something 12-year-olds should be having to think about. And
nope. In the past, they were either raised their entire lives knowing they were the Avatar, or they didn't really go into their Avatar duties until they were 16.
Exactly. But he was so powerful. They're like, yeah, we need to stop this now. And he's like, yeah, I'm going to run away because, you know. And I get that. And I think that's also why the love story between him and Katara always bothered me, because of the fact that he's 12 and she's older
than him.
She's
only like 14, though. There's not a terrible difference.
No, it's not the age difference. It's the fact that kind of the way she mothers him a lot.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's her whole character arc, is that she's really the mother of the group.
Sometimes the mother needs a break.
Especially later in the show, when he has to fight the Fire Lord, and everyone's like, oh, we have to train, and he's freaking out, so he kind of procrastinates and has fun instead, and she gets annoyed with him. It's one of those reminders that he really is a kid.
Her character kind of annoyed me at sometimes, though. She seemed that she acted like she could do everything.
Mm-hmm.
But she also backed it up, though, I felt like. Most of the time when she was like, I got this, she really did get that. She really does have that.
She was that was one of the things that Avatar The Last Airbender did very well. The characters felt fairly balanced. Like, yes, Sokka was the comic relief, he was the goofball, but he was powerful in his own right. He became one of the samurai warriors. He learned how to use the boomerang as effective as a lot of benders were able to do. And then you have Aang, the excited kid who was all over the place, but he could buckle down and get serious when needed to. They were very well-rounded. The only one that I felt was that kind of wasn't well-rounded was Toph. She was a great character, and I loved how they showed not a disability, but a different ability, and they were able to do it extremely well, where a lot of shows fail.
Yeah, I don't think her character really changed that much. Like, you can kind of see the change in, like, Aang and Katara and Sokka and Zuko and even Iroh, but you don't really see a change in Toph's character. Like, even I think you even see a change in Ty Lee and Mei. You see a change in them, too. But I don't think there's, like, a very big change in Toph. I think Toph is the same as she was in the beginning as she is in the end.
No, there's subtle changes. She does have character growth. She goes from, I have to be by myself, I don't want to join the crew, I'm just here to get away from my parents, to actually caring about them, protecting them, training Aang, and also... One pivotal moment is when she's hanging on the blimp from the Fire Nation, and she has to 100% trust Sokka not to let her go because she has no ground. She can't see anything. She can't sense anything. So she has to put her entire faith in him. She does grow as a character. It's just not as dramatic as some of the other characters.
Yeah, Toph is abrasive.
100%, and I know you haven't watched Legend of Korra, but she doesn't get better with age.
Still abrasive.
Yeah, that's an understatement.
You know, it's kind of funny when you think about their elements, because think about it. Toph's Earth, right? Mm-hmm. Earth isn't exactly, like, soft all the time. And then we all know Zuko's got a temper flare up like that. Aang is air, and he is not the sound. Punny or anything, he's flighty, like he goes where he wants to go.
It's kind of like Harry Potter, where their personalities match their powers a little too well.
And then you got Katara, and yeah, water is calm and soothing, brings life, but also water can fuck you up.
Yeah, 100%.
Tsunami, hurricane, kind of like that, you know, those memes that are always looks like a cinnamon roll but can actually kill you.
Yes.
Now how would we do that with the gang? Looks
all
like
of them roll. They're all looks cinnamon rolls. They could all actually kill you.
What did you think about the blood bending?
I thought it was incredible because I had actually thought that earlier in time. I remember learning in school that the body is 65 to 70% water. I'm like, wouldn't a waterbender be able to bend blood? And then it happens, and my 10-year-old mind was just blown. I was like, oh my God, that's amazing. And then I'm like, that's actually really creepy, but it was powerful.
Yeah, I don't think she uses it that much, though. Like, even though she can do it, it scares her.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think she uses it that much. I think she uses it, like, maybe a few times. Yeah, it is kind of freaky, and it's creepy, and it's kind of terrifying knowing that you can bend someone's body.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's definitely out there, but I think it's a cool ability. They go into it a little bit more in Legend of Korra, which I like.
They do?
Yeah.
Do they expand on it or what?
They expand on it. They show not the recesses of it, but how far someone who's truly got the skill for it can take it. It's the same with metal bending. They show how impressive it could be with the right training.
Do you wish we would have, like, actually, like, I know they go into it in, like, the not comics and everything, but do you wish the show had continued on with how they rebuild all of the four nations and everything?
I do, but again, they didn't get the fourth season. That's what that would have been. Because if you read the comic that was published after it, The Promise, that was season 4 and what it was going to be. They go into it quite a bit in Legend of Korra in what Aang kind of does. He builds a city and he takes care of business, but there's still a lot of problems left. Well, I wish they had shown more of the rebuilding.
That's like 100 years of bad shit that they have to change and fix, okay? The Fire Nation ain't just gonna roll over and show their belly, okay? Some who were tired of the fighting, yeah, they might. They might understand that this was wrong, but others are not going to do that. And just because some Fire Nation people are going to be like, no, this was wrong, we shouldn't have done this, doesn't mean that Earth and Water Nations are going to immediately freaking forgive.
That does come up in The Promise. So, spoilers if you haven't read it. Basically, the Earth Kingdom and the family that we've come to know, they work together and they're trying to take out all the excess colonies, took up residence in other spaces, especially the Earth Kingdom. And part of the deal is that the Fire Nation retreats all of their colonies. So that way the land could go back to the people it belongs to. However, there becomes a big problem because Zuko goes down and he's trying to figure out what the problem is. There's a colony that's been in the Earth Kingdom for 100 years. Their people are so intertwined at this point that there's really no malice towards the Fire Nation. They've become a whole separate entity. Zuko and Aang get into kind of a tiff about it of, we promised we would remove the Fire Nation colonies. However, it's been 100 years. They've become a part of this land now. You can't just move them. So Aang creates what's called Republic City, a place where all of the nations can develop trading and get along. It still is technically Earth Nation land. However, it's more available to all the nations.
You got to think about it. There's no more airbenders other than Aang.
They also fix that in Legend of Korra. Yeah, not only with Aang's kids, but they have a patch for it. It gets fixed.
How? I'm never going to get around to watching
Legend of Korra spoilers. There's a huge battle in the spirit world, and that battle results in a lot of people who are suddenly able to airbend, and they become part of the new Air Nation.
Feel like that's cheating, but okay.
It was kind of bullshit. They didn't explain it very well. My headcanon is that these were people from the Air Nation generations and generations ago, so they always had it in them to be airbenders. It just never developed, because without the Air Nation there is no balance.
Exactly, like the whole point is balance. You've got 3 out of 4.
Correct.
But what I've noticed with The Last Airbender is that, yeah, there's filler episodes.
There's a lot of shows that end up in filler hell.
Yeah, but the difference is The Last Airbenders, their filler episodes still felt like a part of the story.
How do you feel about how they actually beat the Fire Lord, where Aang takes away his bending rather than getting rid of him altogether?
I honestly think that's kind of poetic. I like that Aang's like, you know what? Let's just take away your bending. Because he's this big, almighty, powerful freaking Fire Lord. Now, guess what? He ain't fire, and he ain't no lord either. Nope. He can't do shit. Yeah, sure, he'll probably still cause some problems not having any bending powers.
I liked that Aang took the pacifist route with the Fire Lord because, again, raised by monks, it's what he does. However, I felt it was kind of anticlimactic to the whole story. I know it's because there's supposed to be a fourth season. That's not the end of the story.
I'm sure a lot of people were not happy about just taking the Fire Lord's. That probably wasn't satisfactory to a lot, but it was true to Aang's character.
It was. That I will definitely give it credit for. They never really made any of the characters do something that was particularly out of character.
You know what I want? I want stories about the other avatars.
You know how Marvel is gonna do the What If series?
Yeah.
I want the creators of Avatar The Last Airbender, now that they're no longer working on the Netflix live-action series, to create something that's more of a backstory for each of the Avatars.
Mm-hmm. Especially Kyoshi and...
Roku is the Fire Lord, Firebender.
Yeah, I need something like that. And you know, Zuko's related to him.
Yeah. It's like, cool. There's a lot to it, and, you know, don't question it, because the way that they set up Zuko's family, it kind of seems like a shoo-in at the last minute.
So, you think that the Legend of Korra focuses more on the powers rather than on the characters?
It's hard to explain. I feel like none of the characters get 100% fleshed out. They have backstories, they have goals, they have character arcs. I just feel like it was completely different than Avatar The Last Airbender, which isn't a bad thing. It's just the characters don't feel as real to me. Like in The Last Airbender, you feel like these characters are each part of you. You could sympathize and empathize with the characters. In Legend of Korra, they feel almost alien to you. Like, I didn't form a connection really with any of the characters.
I haven't watched Legend of Korra, so I can't give any input on this whatsoever.
You need to. It's on Netflix. And it's a fast watch. Every time I do a personality quiz or I ask people what character I am, they always say Iroh.
I usually get Katara or Ty Lee.
I could see Ty Lee.
I'm okay with that. She's not the brightest bulb in the thing, so I'm smarter than her.
See, I disagree. I think she's just hiding her intelligence behind ditziness.
I like that.
All right, Disturbed Nerds, thank you so much for joining us again today and listening to us discuss Avatar The Last Airbender, one of our favorite shows.
Bye, y'all.
Bye.